Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I'm still expecting great and mighty things. God has not fallen off his throne. And he gave us a promise, and I know he's going to keep that promise. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your word that you gave us tonight. I thank you, Father God, that that proves to us that you're in our midst. And that also proves us, Father God, that your angelic host are here and your Holy Spirit's here. And Father God, whatever we need, we can receive tonight because we believe. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm hearing God say, that's why I ended that real quick, because I've heard God say, many are falling off the wagon of belief. They can no longer believe that I'm going to accomplish the things that I promised them, I'm going to accomplish them. I mean, you know, God has prophesied to us and said that before the year's out, all of our promises are going to be fulfilled. Well, we were going on the assumption that when 2015 ended, and I was just hearing God say by this summer, all of your promises are going to be fulfilled. And he's saying, if you can just stay with me a little while longer, if you'll just stop looking at your circumstances, if you'll just stand in my footprints and trust me, I will bring all those promises to pass. Amen. I'm also hearing God say the problem with the majority of the body of Christ is they've listened to too many lies, too many negative things. They won't hold on to even though the negative's coming, they won't hold on to the positive. And that is what has caused them to grow weary. And he's saying once again, if you just look up, if you just look up, that is where I'm at. If you just look up. Should you bring her up front, Brother Chris, by your daddy? She'll straighten out. I feel an urgency in the air, saints, that if you're not watchful, you're not going to receive the promises that God had promised you. And you're going to be deceived by other ministers, other prophets. You're going to have to keep your eyes steadfast upon God. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. And God's saying, why don't you call forth your miracle? You have it on paper. You have it on tape. You might have it in your heart, but why don't you call forth your miracle? As you decree and declare and call it forth, I will move on your behalf. I want action from my people. You become too passive, and I want action. Papa, pay attention, please. You know, guys, it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. It's what are you doing? And, you know, we have to be, The reason why we have so many problems is because we're not walking in the Spirit. Are you understanding this? We need to be walking totally and completely in the Spirit. We're trying to do works, and works isn't where it's at. It doesn't matter what I expect out of God when I come here. I can't go and try to muster up the glory. You can't do that. I can't get you guys all hyped up. I won't do that ever, so that you'll get excited for the second. That's not the Spirit. I just have to come in here. I just have to trust that what God's given me to give you people is going to go forth the way He wants it. And I just have to trust God that because it is Spirit-led, that something's going to happen from this. Amen. Trinity, don't look back at Daddy no more. Tonight, I want to talk about integrity. I was going to talk about something else, but God told me He wants integrity in His body. And He's talked about that off and on, that He wants us to walk in integrity. There is something brewing in the atmosphere. Remember, I'm going to get this word and I'm going to post it again, but remember in October, God said we were going to go through some tests and trials that were, unprecedented. And we'd never been tested that way before. And I think He told us we really had to be with Him or something. But anyway, I think I'll post that. I'll give it to you, Brother Chris, and post it for the word, okay? And I think we forgot that word. And we're everybody in this church, everybody belongs to this church, is going through a trial right now. A heavy one. And today I just was wondering, has anybody remembered what God spoke to us? And He warned us that this was coming. So, endurance. So, guys, Brother Chris will post it tonight. Read it tomorrow. Get it down in your spirit. God already forewarned us we were going to go through these things. And now when we're going through, we go, what's going on? And I said to one of the people from the church today, I said, I have never held a revival and had such a coming against as what this revival is. This is unreal, what's going on in the atmosphere against this revival. I want each one of you to know that God is still in control. And God is going to have His way in this revival. He's going to do what He wants to do. Are you listening here? I'm going to teach you. Let's go into integrity. You going upstairs, sweetie? Go ahead. She's so cute. In the summer of 1805, a number of Indian chiefs and warriors met in council at Buffalo Creek, New York, to hear a presentation of the Christian message by a Mr. Cram from the Boston Missionary Society. After the sermon, a response was given by Red Jacket, one of the leading chiefs. Among other things, the chief said, "Brother, you say that there is but one way to worship and serve the Great Spirit. If there is but one religion, why do you white people differ so much about it? Why not all agree, as you can all read the book? Brother, we are told that you have been preaching to the white people in this place. These people are our neighbors. We are acquainted with them. We will wait a little while and see what effect your preaching has upon them. If we find it does them good, makes them honest and less disposed to cheat Indians, we will then consider again of what you have said." A lot of what I'm talking about is people are watching you. And they're going to see how you're going to walk this thing out before they try it. Amen? What if everyone waited to see what effect our religion had on us before they decided to accept it? But that is what's going on right now. How many people would accept our religion based on them observing the difference it has made in our lives? My question was, How many people would accept our religion based on them observing the difference it has made in our lives? You know, I have to grin because people watch what I go through, you know, that I know personally outside the church, and they say, I don't want God in that depth if that's what you have to go through. You know? But, you know, we talk about it and they understand it after a fashion. But, see, so people are watching you. They're watching everything you do, everything you say, the way you blink your eyes, really, the way you wear your clothes, everything you do, they're watching. The Apostle Peter in his first letter said that people like Chief Red Jacket are watching our every move to see what kind of difference our faith makes in our lives. People who are not believers are living all around us, right? Peter says in 1 Peter 2:12, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that in a case where they speak against you as those who do evil, they may, by observing your good works, glorify God in a day of visitation. The word see means observe, not a passing glance, but a concentrated effort watching your every move. People are making mental notes on us. People are watching us whether we like it or not, especially if we claim to be a believer. What do they watch? Like Chief Red Jacket, they watch to see if our behavior matches our belief, if our walk matches our talk, if our character matches our confession, if what we claim to believe on Sunday is put into practice on Monday. In a word, they watch to see if we have integrity. The hallmark of the Christian life is integrity. Isn't that what Chief Red Jacket wanted to see in the white people, if they were good, honest, and not given to cheating? The meaning of integrity. Integrity is a high standard of living based on a personal code of morality that doesn't succumb to the whim of the moment or the dictates of the majority. Let's read that again. Integrity is a high standard of living, based on a personal code of morality that doesn't succumb to the whim of the moment or the dictates of the majority. Integrity is to personal character what health is to the body, or 20/20 vision is to the eyes. A person of integrity is whole. Their lives are put together. People with integrity have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. As Solomon wrote in Proverbs 10:9, the one who lives with integrity lives securely. Their lives are open books. They say to a watching world, go ahead and look. My behavior will match my beliefs. My walk will match my talk. My character will match my confession. Who I am on Sunday will be the same on Monday and every other day of the week. Are you walking with integrity? I want you to think about this as we're hearing this. The model of integrity. Without a doubt, Jesus is the supreme model of integrity. His life evidenced his purity and excellent character that his enemies could only declare in Mark 12:14. When they came, they said to Jesus, Teacher, we know you are truthful and defer to no one, for you don't show partiality, but teach truthfully the way of God. What are people saying about you behind your back? Not to your face, but they're observing you and then they're talking about you behind your back. The New International Version translated, Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. Even at the conclusion of his life here on earth, as he stood before Pilate in the mockery of a trial, the ruler said in Luke 23:4, I find no grounds for charging this man. Are you hearing this? There was no basis for guilt, no evidence of fault found in Jesus. In other words, his behavior matched his belief, his walk matched his talk, his character matched his confession. It is for these reasons that Peter instructed all believers in 1 Peter 2:21, for you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. Peter gives us the example, the model of integrity that we should follow. If the world is watching us, then we should be watching Christ. We should follow his example. We should do as he has done. Charles Sheldon delivered a series of messages in his Topeka, Kansas church about a community of believers that began to model the behavior, the character, and walk of Jesus. He took as his text 1 Peter 2:21. His sermons were compiled into a book, and the book was called In His Steps, which became an instant bestseller. The story in the book turns on the response of key church members to the challenge of their minister. The book's all about he challenged his people. He requests that they join him in a pledge that for 1 year, one year, they would make no major decision without first asking, what would Jesus do? And that was about the time everybody was wearing those what would Jesus do things. Through this simple yet profound challenge, the life of Christ is manifested through individuals in this story in amazing ways. In other words, he tells what happened to the people. The narrative deals with the presence and model of Christ influencing churches, homes, work settings, communities, and the nation. It realistically captures the excitement and joy, but also sacrifice and pain that mark individual lives that follow in Jesus' footsteps. I don't know about you, but whenever they had that out, what would Jesus do? It made me think of everything I did. What would Jesus do in this situation? See, we think those things are just something cute, but really and truly they put a message before our eyes, and it's up to us what we do with the message. The same challenge is presented today. Will we walk in Jesus' steps? Will we follow his model? Will we make a pledge that before any major decision to ask, what would Jesus do? Will we live a life of integrity? The manifestations of integrity. But how is integrity practiced on a daily basis? Where do people watch us most closely? Peter answers that question. He identifies several arenas where integrity is put to the test, with the watching world observing our reaction. He also provides some practical solutions to take in those arenas so that our integrity will stay intact. In tempting circumstances, he says, stay away. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and temporary residents to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. To abstain means not to get involved with or to keep away and or to keep away from. If you know you're tempted in a certain area, you shouldn't go near that thing. If you're a glutton and you like Dunkin' Donuts donuts, you get a dozen a day and eat them. You don't go stop at Dunkin' Donuts, right? Amen. There was a student in a youth group that went off to college on his first break from school. Went home and stopped by to see his youth leader. He told him how he had been invited to a fraternity party. Rick, you wouldn't believe what was there. Free alcohol, beverages, drugs, willing girls, and more. The youth leader was astounded. What did you do? He asked. I ran out of there as fast as I could. He said, did I do the right thing? The youth leader responded, of course you did. In tempting situations, we are to flee, to run, get away. That means avoiding situations where you easily fall to temptation. It may mean having the hotel desk clerk to disconnect the porn channels on the television in your room before you enter. I was totally shocked whenever the thing came out about how many preachers go out of town to hold revivals and watch pornography on the TV the night before they go to the next. That's awful. It may mean never traveling with someone of the opposite sex on business. You never do that anyhow. It may mean avoiding certain groups of people where you are easily swayed into destructive behavior. If you're an ex-alcoholic, you don't run around with the alcoholics, right? If you're an ex-drug addict, you don't go around where they're doing drugs. You know, and you know if you like watching pornography, you don't go around where you know they watch pornography. Whatever. In authoritative situations, show respect. 1 Peter 2:13, 14, and 17 says, submit to every human institution because of the Lord. whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Honor everyone. Peter instructs us to respect the government and the ones who enforce the laws for the government. We are to submit or to yield. He says that we are to yield to authority. Yielding to authority is a mark of a believer. Yielding, like coming to a yield sign when driving a car, means letting the other guy have his way first. So let's just say that in the church, you're supposed to yield to what I say. And you know, if there's another, like the deliverance team, you yield to what the deliverance team person, you know, the ones in charge of the deliverance team, you yield to authority. We have the flag team. You yield to what the one who runs the flag team has to say, because she's the authority figure. All right, this is what Peter said we should do. Yield to authoritative figures. Submission or yielding is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of self-control. And the body of Christ does not have self-control. Not talking about the world. We know they don't. We're talking about the body of Christ. Submission or yielding is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of self-control. It is saying, I don't have to have my way all the time. It's like the guy who became a Christian and said, Pastor, every part of me got saved except my right foot. Your right foot, what do you mean? I mean that the hardest part of me to submit is my lead foot when I'm driving my car. He said, but now it is submitted also. Oh, you drive fast? Okay. Integrity says, I may not like the law, but I still obey it. Integrity says, I may not like the person in the office, but I will honor the position. Integrity says, I may not like direction the nation is going, but I will pray for God's intervention. Integrity says, I will obey God first, even if it means that I suffer the penalty for doing the right thing. In the work environment, stand for what is right. 1 Peter 2:18 says, Household slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the cruel. Slavery was prevalent in the Roman Empire. Some 60 million people were slaves. They were not considered persons, but rather property of their owners. While we don't have this form of slavery in our country today, this verse still is applicable. Allow me to change two words. Employees, submit yourself to your employers with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. I wish they really did that in workplaces. They go in there and act like they own the company, don't they? They sit there and don't do any work. And it hasn't changed since I've been in here, I've heard. As believers in Christ, our integrity goes to work with us. It manifests itself in the way we treat our boss, our clients, and fellow employees. It also manifests itself in the way we respond to the company's procedures and policies, to difficult and sometimes unjust assignments in the workplace itself. It further manifests itself in our attitude and convictions and honesty we display at our place of work. Remember, those people are watching you. I remember when I first got born again, they always brought up the example that when you're at work, you just take pens home with you. And they said, that's stealing. So, you know, they said, you shouldn't take pens home with you, because that's the company's property, not yours. And integrity demands that we stand for what is the right and the upright thing to do at all times. I read about a salesman who was on the brink of retirement and was involved in a potential sale that could possibly net him a $100,000 commission. Not a bad way to go out. The only problem was, in order to make the deal work, he would have to be somewhat deceptive when he presented the product to the customer. But upon consideration concerning his integrity, he decided to tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. He told the customer the complete truth, and it cost him the sale. But he did what was right. I was talking to somebody a couple months ago, maybe a year ago, and they said, well, I've gone back to my old ways. I don't do what I tell the people I'm going to do, and I still take their money. You can't expect to be blessed when you do that. Two friends own an extremely profitable business. They put it up for sale and gave their word that, pending a few details, they would sell to a particular buyer. They made this commitment on a Friday. However, over the weekend, they received another offer that would have netted them an enormously higher profit. Unsure of what they should do, they spent the rest of the weekend praying with their wives. By Sunday night, they all agreed that their word must be their bond. On Monday morning, they called the second buyer and turned down his better offer. They did what was right. Now, ask yourself here tonight with these two examples, what would you have done? Where's your integrity? D, in suffering, seek God. 1 Peter 2:19. For it brings favor if, because of conscience toward God, someone endures grief from suffering unjustly. The greatest test of integrity is how we respond to suffering. Please get this down into your spirit. Nothing reveals one's character quicker than problems and pain. That's one of the reasons why God allows it. When we go through suffering, it really reveals what we're like. It has been said Christians are like tea bags. One doesn't know what they're like inside until they are in hot water. As long as we live on this planet, we will experience suffering. We will have problems. We will have pain. The question is, how do we deal with it? People are watching to see just how we react to the misfortunes and sufferings of this world. Helen Keller was right. Although the world is full of suffering, it is full also of the overcoming of it. She also said that it was because of her blindness that she was able to see God. During suffering, seek God. Don't ask, why is this happening to me? Instead, ask, what are you trying to teach me? Be conscious of God in all aspects of your life. The problem with the body of Christ is there's no integrity. There really isn't. Okay, so there's a drop here and there. But what I'm talking about is the body of Christ as a whole. We need to get integrity in our life. Here are the facts. Our integrity is put to the test every day in virtually every situation. We are being watched closely to see how we will respond. The choice of our walk matching our talk, our behavior matching our beliefs, our character matching our confession is left to us. What will we do? I can guarantee you that many of you are sitting here tonight, or maybe all of you are sitting here tonight, saying, my integrity is not what it should be. I do not have the integrity of Jesus Christ. Because these things that we talked about, I don't do those things. And God is calling us all to a different walk, a new walk, a righteous walk. A walk where people, whenever we talk to people, they know that they can believe us. Okay, let's just say, okay, or just like being a prophet, if you don't have integrity, and they watch you mess up in other areas, why would they ever want you to prophesy over them? Think about that. If we want people to believe in our God and to follow Him, then we're going to have to be just like Jesus. We're going to have to quit this wishy-washy way that we walk with God. One day up, one day down. One second in, one second out. We cannot be like the world in any way, shape, or form. Another aspect of his integrity is how quickly you're offended. Offense destroys churches all over the place. If we're people of integrity, we won't get offended. We will sit down and talk things out. Are you listening? We won't immediately get all puffed up. How dare you? We will sit down and we'll talk things out. People of integrity, I sit in here, is like an open book. Everybody knows everything about you. So if you're not, you know, if the enemy is dancing all over your head and you haven't been able to defeat him in that area, then you're out there acting like a fool, like I've done a couple of times. But I say, I'm having a problem. The enemy's really working on me really hard. See, that my integrity is at work there. It's saying, I'm not better than you are. The enemy's fighting me too. And then while you do that, if you don't reveal what's going on, that the enemy has you on a run, then people are going to look at you and think, what kind of a person are they really? Are they really a true child of God? And all the time, what's going on is you're in a battle. And so while you're in that battle, you're acting like a fool. You're coming against everybody that's around about you. Isn't that what I did that one time? And, you know, and you're trying not to do that, but just because the enemy has you in a battle, he's in control. And you're trying to everything with everything in your being not to give in to those feelings that you know are coming from hell. But he takes over because you haven't cried out for support. You haven't cried out and said, help, I'm in a battle that I'm losing. And therefore, then you offend everybody around about you. And no, everybody looks at you and say, are you still saved? And you even say to your own self, am I still saved? I don't know about you, but I've said to myself, God, am I still saved? Because I'm going to tell you, some of the battles that the Satan takes you through will make you feel like you're not saved anymore. So instead of you sitting there bottling everything up and trying to be whatever, you're not a mountain. You're a human being, and you will suffer, and Satan will come after you. And you have to let people know, hey, whenever you pinch me, I hurt. You know, and right now I'm really in a struggle. And please, if I say anything I shouldn't say, please forgive me. Will you please just work with me? Don't leave me stranded somewhere, but work with me. You know, that's integrity that cries out for help. Your integrity is so very, very important. My real father taught me that as a young girl. He said, Barbie, if you lose your integrity, you don't have anything. And that is the absolute truth. As you study the scriptures, this was in one of the snowflake things I found, all these different virtues. This guy was going to preach on because of snow, but then you had to pay for it, and I'm too cheap to do that, so I didn't. I just took some of the things that he talked about, and then I talked about them. But as you said here tonight, I want you to truly search your heart. Am I just like Jesus? Is my walk just like Jesus' walk? Am I a person of integrity? Can my word stand up in court? And I'm talking about the courtroom of church. We need to be just like Jesus. And when they say, we find no fault in him, we're going to do all this dumb stuff to him for no reason at all. Because there's no fault in him. And do you understand that if you're a person of integrity, that's what will happen to you? People will come against you for no reason whatsoever, just because you are. And so then when that happens, then your integrity really kicks in and you just like Jesus, just walk away. Let it alone. In your workplace, the reason why you can't win others to Christ is because they see you act just like they do. You know? And that should never be. We should be different on the workplace. We should be different. We should be telling the truth all the time, just not every now and then. when I worked at the college, one of my bosses was, he was a really neat guy. He was a Christian, and he walked the walk. He talked his walk. He really exemplified a man of God. And I said to him one time, well, anyhow, something was happening in his personal life. I said, how come you keep doing that? And he says, because that's my job as a husband, according to the word that we read. It didn't matter what the spouse was doing. He still maintained his integrity and did what he was supposed to do as a husband. Loved her, protected her, worked for her, you know, whatever he had to do, he did. And that really made me stop and think. It doesn't matter how the other half is acting. You keep being just like Jesus. And let the world see Jesus in you. Amen. I want to start seeing integrity in the Lighthouse Church. In any visitors, I want to see integrity in you every time I see you. Amen. Because without integrity, God cannot send the world into us, guys. I don't care where you go to church. He cannot send the world to you if you do not have integrity. The blind lead the blind and everybody falls in the ditch. Are you blind? If you were blinded when you came in here tonight, the message made you see, right? I was blinded, but now I see. If we can see revival, Dave Wilkerson got a word from God before he died, and God said this last revival would be a revival of righteousness. And as I look at what God's having to spring across the pulpit, it's all about being righteous. So I know what God is doing because he shared it with me the other night. He's cleaning up whoever comes in here. I don't care if you're a member. You're in here for a reason. You're being cleaned up so God can use you when he drops his glory. Amen. Everybody that God sends through these walls are strong in character. I mean, yeah, they're strong. They just have a strong characteristic about them. And the reason why that is because God said he was sending the preachers into the church for me to train so he could send them out. So you have to be strong, have a strong character about you in order for God to call you into the ministry. And those that quit and fall away and then talk about us didn't have strong character, but God gave them a chance. Are you understanding this? And they wanted to come, they wanted to usurp authority, and God won't allow anybody to usurp authority. He just won't allow that. That's not good character. It's not good integrity. It's not good anything. So I want you guys to get excited because you're not here just by chance. You're here because God is cleaning you up and getting you ready to be a leader out there in that community. Most of the body of Christ has proven they can't be leaders. Because they aren't leaders themselves, they can't bring their people up to be leaders. So guys, please listen to what God's saying to you so that whenever he gives you a group of people to be over, that you can bring them up into the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And they'll walk in integrity. They'll be just like Jesus. The righteous of God will be shining through them. Amen. Our purpose here is not to leave here the same as we came. Our purpose is that when God has finished cleaning us up, that we're going to go out there and we're going to be better than the ones that are out there preaching now. Because we can all say yes and amen to the fact that the reason why the body of Christ is the way it is because we have not been taught the right word. The word's been compromised all over the place. It's been twisted and turned where you can't even recognize it. People weren't walking in the Spirit. They were just wanting to count heads. That got David in trouble, didn't it? Well, it's getting churches in trouble, too, because they really didn't care what they were preaching. They didn't care how their people acted. They just wanted numbers so they could get more money. That's a shame. We aren't like that. I don't need your count. I don't work for anybody except God. And I would never work. I would never preach in a church where I had to account to somebody about how many heads I had and why I lost some and why I didn't gain any. We're not in this for heads, are we? We're in this for souls, are we not? So, God's, I'm hearing God say he's a leader, and a leader is called to leaders. And he's calling to you people tonight, will you please walk in pure integrity like his son Jesus did? What I'm hearing God say right now, to have the integrity of Christ, your heart has to be right. It has to be purged, it has to be cleansed, and it has to be a heart of love. So if there's anybody in here tonight that you really want that integrity that Jesus Christ had, if you come up here, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. God said he's going to cleanse your hearts. He's going to power wash your mind. And he's going to set you free so that your character matches your confession. That you are a child of God. The altar's open.